Blog Talk Radio.
One night, Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. Something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us." And kindly point that gun the other way. With the greatest of care, into the hen house something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us." And kindly point that gun the other way. And holla, holla, holla up and hit the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. An awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in. And hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. Ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. 'Cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done. Nobody at all. So quiet yourself.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, RFM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Series.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Hey, welcome. It's 11 o'clock. It's time for The Backstory. Dave Truax and I are here at Sabatino's conference room at 421 McHenry Avenue. Our phone number is 846-1814. And you're certainly welcome to call in and join in. Hey, I found out today that the Love Modesto signs that you see all over town, Dave, they're legal now.
Good.
Yeah.
That's all you're asking.
Well, that's all I asked, and they made it happen. Apparently that happened because of Mayor Branvall and the city attorney, because they're the ones that responded to our request of what is the status. But we go back to a March 28th article that was on Facebook at the time, or we emailed it out. The question was that I opened the Modesto Bee to this headline: "Inquiring mind can rest assured, Love Modesto signs on solid ground," by Jeff Jardine. Well, Jeff, you were wrong. They weren't light legal at the time. A 4x8 Love Modesto signs began to cover the landscape last year. I called the city attorney's office and asked if they were provided by law. I was referred to the city clerk's office and informed that the signs were not lawful and there are no exceptions. It seems that in some cases signs are okay for me, but not for thee. Jardine falsely reported that I had called the city and demanded the removal of the signs. That was not only inaccurate, it was a lie.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like you.
Well, it wasn't me, but Jeff is retired now. The signs were replaced by April 8th signs, and this year they're April 13th signs. I don't know why they keep changing the date and spending money for the signs. Jardine, and I wrote at the time, is a good creative writer when he writes about puppies and wildflowers, and is suited to work in the district attorney's office where he could create fairy tales to lie and prosecute innocent people. I had to get that in. Politically, he helps friends and destroys his enemies using the power of the pen and millions of gallons of printer ink. Imagine the power he would have if he had access to investigators and District Attorney Birgit Flatiger. But Adam Lindgren from Sacramento law firm of Myers Nave, who covers corruption for the city of Modesto, avoided comment on the legality of the love signs.
I do have that clip.
I want to play that. But okay. In the meantime, we were left with Jeff Jardine's opinion. And I'm tempted, I guess I'm free to go after Jardine, because the Modesto Bee, and we're going to talk about it in a little while, the Modesto Bee went after Brandwall, and we want to cover that. Here's what Jardine says. If Love Modesto signs do blur the lines just a smidgen, who cares? Jeff, I care. I cared enough to get to the truth. You know, Jeff, judges don't send him to jail. I'm talking about, I use the example of a alcohol blood count was just a smidgen over the legal limit, and he didn't really mean to kill anyone. This is a sentence that Jardine could write in defense of crime. Last year, City Attorney Adam Lindgren changed his mind, and in a recorded interview, along with Mayor Brandwall, assured me that the signs would be brought into full compliance with the law. Not that year, but next year. And you're right, we do have a clip of Mr. Brandwall and Mayor Brandwall and Mr. Lindgren, and this is the tape that I played on a recorded message that was left on my cell phone.
Okay.
Let's play that.
Hi, Mr. Sabatino. This is Adam Lindgren, returning your call or your visit to my office earlier today. It's 1:37. I'm here with Mayor Brandwall. I've discussed and raised the issue both to him and also last week to the city manager's office. Mayor Brandwall has agreed that he and I would raise the issue with Love Modesto, raise the conversation about full sign compliance and a full review of sign compliance next year. And probably even beginning this year after their event, so that there is an early and clear understanding about an updated compliance with all of the city's codes with respect to their the signage for their event. Mayor, do you have any other comment to share with Mr. Sabatino?
No, just that we will look into it and address it and bring them in line with whatever we can put together for requirements for them. So
I hope that that satisfies you as to your inquiry and our attention and interest to this issue going forward. Sounds like it's something that we will be able to solve for 2018. Thank you, Mr. Savage.
There you go.
Well, you know, that was nice of them to call, and I did make it public. But this year, I don't have the exact code, but I am assured that the signs that are out there now are legal. And I can say is that I'm curious as to banners. So I'm sure that they work some way. But if those signs are legal, then aren't all signs legal?
Well, the banner thing they did last year, and it didn't hold, because that was only for two banners on a single space, one on each wall. It wasn't a blanket to cover the city. So they're not using that still.
Well, what I read today was banners may be permitted in residential zoning districts only for churches, schools, and model home complexes and apartment projects with vacancies. So I guess they're saying, hey, it's legal. Well, okay, that's no problem. But, you know, at the time, Jeff Jardine offered or suggested that on April 8th, something that if I went out that day and picked up garbage and papers and stuff all over town, that that would be a life-changing experience for me. Okay, I pick up papers and stuff. I try not to throw papers and garbage away in the first place, but I wouldn't call making the signs legal as a life-changing experience, but I think it was a beneficial experience in my efforts to make April 13th signs for Modesto legal. But that's no big deal. The big deal is, and Mr. Jardine might come out of retirement, and maybe it would be a life-changing experience for him to come out and work on a better project. And a better project, Mr. Jardine, a life-changing experience for you, would be to join in and make Modesto lovable. I think that's more important than asking people to love Modesto when there's work to be done to make Modesto lovable. The experience that Mr. Jardine could look at is to find out, with his experience, how much the city of Modesto pays to sponsor or be associated with this event. What does it cost the taxpayers? I know that the people who are putting the event together, one is Jeff Fishney, who claims that Mark Vache, the former editor of the Bee, was his mentor. So that Love Modesto really is a partial religious and community event. But we ought to know as taxpayers, what do we pay for it? And especially since we're finding out that Jeff Fishney, I think I have his tax return. I'm sorry I left it across the way, Dave. But I recall that last year he made $165,000. You would think that that's a lot of money for a volunteer. And maybe we could find out how much of that money, the money that's donated or used to collect in advertising, could go towards the event. So that's my life-changing experience with that. The signs are legal, and I've sort of, this year, made them legal or asked that they be made legal. You know, there is another article that we found on March 23rd of 2019. It was the Modesto Bee editorial board view on until some prodding, does Mayor Brandvall actually make a move? The prospect of reading a Modesto Bee editorial slamming Mayor Ted Brandvall for the legendary reluctance to deliver a State of the City address finally got him moving. 2 weeks ago, we asked the mayor when he would make good on a promise to finally face his residents and tell us how Modesto is doing. That was 2 weeks ago. How Modesto is doing and where it's going. And that's the purpose of a State of the City address. This is the state of the city. This is where we are, and this is where we intend to go. Well, on Thursday, we resumed pressing for an answer, and it's been a month, after all, since Brandvall told Bee reporter Kevin Olin, with no details, that he would at long last give a speech for the first time since elected in 2016, but Brandvall did not return the call. When he finally answered the call, he had no answers, no time, no date, no venue. This, according to the Bee, isn't an unusual thing. We're asking state of the agency addresses give leaders an open door to celebrate achievements, share visions, and take notice of challenges and opportunity. Not having an annual speech is the exception. It's usually done. A couple of years ago, uncommon snowfall canceled lots of activities in Oregon, including Beavertown State of the City address. This year, Niagara Falls mayor skipped his annual speech because he canceled and was undergoing chemotherapy. Well, these are little bits that Garth Stapley would certainly look up. Well, he goes on to say, they go on to say, that Modesto doesn't have a snow problem and Brandvall isn't sick. But he gave us nothing in 2016 and in 2017 and in 2018. And a month after telling Valin he would finally come around this year, he had nothing as of Friday morning. Leaders on all levels of government report to their people, usually in the first quarter. President Donald Trump's 2019 State of the Union address came and went, as did Governor Gavin Newsom's State of the speech, state speech, both in February. Stanislaus County Supervisor Terry Withrow gave his speech. But the question the Bee has is, why has Brandvall dragged his feet? Well, there are three reasons are given. One, the first year I had to get my feet on the ground. Since then, we've just been dealing with a lot of issues. Yes, you have. You've been dealing with the collapse of the city. And this year, I've got to connect with Major Modesto Chamber of Commerce President Cecil Russell and set it up. Oh, you have to depend on the Chamber of Commerce to set up a state of the city. They have to find you a venue. Who do they find to write the speech? Usually the speeches, when they're given, are written by George Petrolakis, a land use attorney, and the man who is most responsible for making Branvall a mayor. And that wasn't fair to Mayor Branvall. That wasn't fair to Ted Branvall to make him a mayor on the last day that filing was to occur. So George went out and got him, and George went out and elected him. And George should take all credit for that, because he has done it in this city, in the county, many, many times.
I believe that you gave one in the years that you were there, State of the City addresses.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Well, I gave, the first one was the most, how should I call it, most joyful for me, because I gave the first one on a Monday night at the convention center. And actually, George Petrolakis was very active in that. I don't know how active he was, but Pat McGrath, who was active in my first State of the City address, took me a little while to find out who I was hanging out with, you know. And but we did have it at the convention center. About 400, 450 people came. They didn't have to pay. They didn't have lunch. They had, coffee, I think, was there, and cookies. And it was a very warm meeting, an event, and something that I, quite frankly, was proud of. Well, I didn't realize how significant that State of the City address was, and that tradition called for the State of the City address, the first one, was to be given to the Downtown Rotary Club. And that was at 12 noon on Tuesday. They were not too pleased with knowing that I had given the speech the night before. So as warm as the room was Monday night, it was that cold Tuesday at lunch when we went to the Rotary Club. The chill in the air there was quite prevalent. The record is that my election showed how petty the Rotary Club was, because their candidate didn't win. In neither one of them, Lang or Friedman. But I think that was the last time I was invited to Downtown Rotary. As a matter of fact, that would be 20 years. How petty can we get? And I don't even know who the leaders are in Downtown Rotary anymore. But obviously, they were very upset that I was elected, and so be it. So, getting back to Mr. Branvall, he's going to have to check with George Petrolakis to see what's going on. What is it? What kind of speech can he make about the issues that confront this city?
Do you think that this article is a bellwether? It's a change to the way the bees going to deal with the government? Do you see, or is this a fluke? Because I've never read one with this tone
before.
Well,
who knows? I mean, Garth Stapley is now the opinions editor. He didn't promise, but he did say that he was willing to speak to power. I'd like to see it. I just want to remind him that I spoke to power and confronted with many, many obstacles and consequences. So I would advise Mr. Stapley not to get too carried away, or he might be back in Manteca reporting. But this article wasn't really much in the sense that Brandvall was damaged, but Stapley knows, must know, that it wasn't necessary, that Brandvall was not going to be given a second term, that the very people who supported him will not support him this time around. They're looking for a replacement. Well, the big news that I missed here, and you pointed out, is that why would City Hall depend on the Chamber for a city event? The Chamber is looking for someone to succeed Russell, who will leave in a few weeks. Helping the mayor do the mayor's business may not be its top priority right now. Well, that was a good clue that Cecil Russell is going to leave, especially in view of the fact that he went to the city council and told the city about what a terrible person I was. And, he said in effect, he did. He called me names. He said I was a liar. I was guilty of libel. And he had little respect for me. And so he said during his tirade that he was told not to say what he was saying. In other words, he wasn't supposed to say all of that. He wasn't supposed to open the door to Sabatino. He was just to continue as Mark Vache and some of the other people of power and means said that the best defense was to ignore Sabatino. Don't open the door for him. So he did that. So if I was of a litigious nature, should I sue or would I sue Cecil Russell while he's still with the chamber? Or wait until after he leaves and then let him pay his own legal bills? I don't know. Anyhow, what time do we have?
We got about 2 minutes left. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How were your relations with the chamber when you were mayor?
Terrible.
Okay.
No, very terrible. That was the whole issue. They were taking taxpayers' money.
That's
I don't care
right.
what Cecil Russell says, but when I became mayor, I found out that the people of the chamber at that time, and call it what you want, they were stealing taxpayers' money, and because of that, we separated them. We took them out of that office. We moved them from the chamber office over to the DoubleTree Hotel, and we separated them. And what they're doing now is they're going to go back to the cookie jar and make the chamber independent of the city, but I hope they're independent of taking city money. So if Brandvall wants to give us a State of the City address that says, number one, we are going to protect the taxpayer dollars. We're not going to let the staff spend $16 million without our knowing. And we're not going to tolerate. Well, they are tolerating already when they subsidize and outsource city functions to nonprofits and consultants. We got a lot to talk about. We'll be back Monday with more backstory. Thanks, Dave.
We chickens trying
to guys, my man.
You butt in. And hobble, 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 hobble. We go 10 calls tomorrow. It's a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. Ground the day, get warm.
and get